Tony Guerrera, state rep, does a good job from Rocky Hill, and he's co-chair of the General Assembly's Transportation Committee. And Dan, you and I were just talking about a couple of other things that might have been included, which would have been better than what we got.
Well, I've got to tell you, the budget package that's being talked about by Representative Guerrero's party, in my opinion, Brad, is just a sham. And they would have been better off going forward with two things. Raise the sales tax to 6.99% and add tolls. I believe that's what they should have done. But joining us on our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair right now is Representative Guerrero. Representative, good morning. Welcome to Brad and Dan.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Well, how do you think we are?
You sound a little, yeah, but definitely got you two riled up this morning. Yeah. You couldn't pick a better day to have me on, couldn't you?
Well, Tony, let's start, because apparently this plan includes the apparatus for eventually adding tolls. What can you tell us about this?
Well, first of all, it really is good talking to both of you this morning. The plan, I have not seen yet, Dan, but I've been told that the budget will have a provision that will have a quasi-public agency, almost like the Port Authority in New York, which will take the revenues and start implementation of electronic tolling. So this separate board will have the authority to implement tolls throughout the state and determine the cost of the tolls throughout the state.
Huh. So, in other words, we would not see, let's say, a separate vote in the legislature to determine whether we should add tolls. It would come through this particular agency if the budget is approved.
Right. So, Baylor, you would be voting. If you're voting for the budget, you're voting for this.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me say this. This budget, and I'll tell you this right to your face, Tony, is the most ridiculous thing that I have ever heard of since I've been behind this microphone. I mean, I cannot believe the party, the Democratic Party, okay, is doing with this budget and what it's going to do to the people of this state. And I just say this from the bottom of my heart.
No, I understand. I understand your concerns. But, you know, we also, we have not seen the final provision. As you know, this has been going on an ongoing basis since June. It's been a whole different environment up at the state capitol, guys, in regards to that you have some moderate Democratic individuals, such as myself, that sit on the Democratic caucus and up in the Senate. And a lot of us feel as though that, you know, raising taxes isn't the best way to get out of this mess. And therefore, you know, when you have a Senate that's 18 and 18 and a House that's 76, 72, every vote now is going to count. And we've come to the point, and let's be honest with ourselves, is that, you know, we can't get out of this mess by just keep, you know, putting taxes in place and thinking that next year everything's going to be okay. Everything has to change, Dan and Brad, everything. And that means from the state level down to the local level. And I think everyone's going to have to contribute to this. And that means some tough decisions are going to occur, where there's going to be less money to the municipalities, where it's going to be less money to state agencies, and we're all going to have to live within our means.
But, Tony, to be fair, you're saying not raising taxes, but when you're raising the real estate conveyance tax, when you're limiting the exemption on items from the sales tax, when you're increasing the cigarette tax, when you're increasing the taxes on other tobacco and smoke-related products, when the bottle deposit bill is being expanded, isn't that raising taxes?
Sure.
Big time.
You know, Dan, listen, there are going to be items in that budget that no one's going to like. All right, we started with, first of all, they talked about an income tax hike on people making over a certain amount of money. Then they started with a sales tax at 6.99. Now, my point on the sales tax, maybe you like it, maybe you don't, but my issue is that affects every single person out there, Dan. All right? It affects you and I, that when we have to buy essentials to live. And that means we're going to add it to every single item that's out there. Now, in regards to this next budget, which I haven't seen, when we talk about a real estate conveyance tax, are we talking on every home that's sold? Is it a certain amount? Is it a half a million? Is it a million? Is it 3 million? Is it 4 million? I haven't seen that yet. So I don't know. I mean, did you? And maybe you guys have seen it, but I haven't seen it yet. But maybe it's, we're talking about homes that are over a million and a half or 2 million. It takes, you know, so until we get up there this afternoon or even tomorrow and caucus this, we don't even know if we'll have enough votes to go in and vote for something like that.
State Representative Tony Guerrero at our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair. Representative, perhaps you can explain again to our audience the infrastructure problems Connecticut is facing in the way of our roads, and do we have enough money under the current system to solve that problem?
Thank you for that question, Dan. Right now, the Special Transportation Fund, which is the fund that accumulates all monies from the gas tax, licensing fees, through DMV, basically within the next 2 years will be gone. No more money.
Wow.
And therefore, as you know, as I've been on your radio a few times in regard to this, back in January and February, we talked about this, that something needs to be done. And we talked about electronic tolling. If we didn't put this another revenue stream in, that this is the predicament that we were going to be in. And we've known about this situation. This is what bothers me, is that we've known about this situation for years. Just like what we're going through right now when it comes to the, our state budget. And we did nothing about it. And now we're in this predicament that, you know, we were one vote away, guys, from passing electronic tolls during the session. One vote. And, you know, we started back in January and I was down 40 votes. And by the last day, we were down to one vote. And we didn't have it.
Tony, here's what I get. In fact, somebody just tweeted me now. Dan, no tolls. Where does it stop? What roads? It will get out of control. What do you say to that?
Well, it's not going to get out of control. The whole Northeast Corridor, Dan, and again, when we talk about tolls, we're talking about the Interstates 84, 91, 95. Dan, what bothers me is that we are losing over close to $300 to $400 million a year.
$300 to $400 million?
Dan, Brad, I'm telling you, all the statistics that we have done over the last 5 years shows that between $300 to $400 million can be raised through electronic tolling. And when someone tells me, where does it stop? It stops right when you're in traffic, when you're trying to go over a bridge, when you can't get to point A to point B, because it takes you forever. And we have to realize this. That's why sometimes businesses don't want to come to the state of Connecticut. If you don't have an infrastructure that works, if I'm in a goods and service market and it takes me 3.5 hours to get from Enfield to New York, and I have to leave at 4 a.m. to do that, and I can only make 2 round trips, how am I making money?
What would this, when we talk about infrastructure improvements, what are we talking about? Are we talking about adding lanes to the interstate, improving what we have? What are we talking about?
We're talking everything, everything, Dan. We're talking about bridges. We're talking about expansion. We're talking making an infrastructure that is now for this type of environment. Remember, guys, we built this infrastructure back in the 40s and in the 50s. All right, and I don't know about you guys, but I grew up in a household that only had one car. Today, every family has at least 3 to 4 cars parked in their driveway.
That's true. True.
All right, and our infrastructure can't handle that. And every time we say we want to try to do something, you know, I don't want to hurt people out there. That is not why, you know, I got elected, was elected to do. But as the chairman of my committee, I am supposed to do what I feel is the best for the state of Connecticut across the board. I mean, these roads aren't meant for Republicans or Democrats. They're meant for everybody. And so I haven't heard one person tell me how we can do it. You want to raise the gas tax? No one has the guts to do it, Dad. They don't want to do it because they know...
Well, it's high enough. It's high enough.
Right. Right? You're right. It is high enough, Brad. And it's an unpopular vote. And the second thing is, when you got cars in the next 10 years that are going to be driving themselves and are going to be electric and hybrid, how will you get that revenue if you raise the gas tax?
But you know what we get on the gas tax, Tony? It's that the money, which is supposed to be earmarked for these infrastructure improvements, just a portion of that money from the gas tax goes to those improvements, and the rest of the money goes to the general fund. If we would use that money specifically for improvements, we wouldn't have to have tolls. What do you say to that?
Well, you know, Dan, I've heard that argument. And there was, listen, let's be honest with ourselves. There have been times that, and I'm not going to say which governors have done it, because all the governors have done it. All right? When in a time of desperation, when you see a pot of money, you grab it. And that was the case with the Special Transportation Fund. But to their point, and I have to say this, you know, whoever the governor was at that time, and it was over the last, you know, 10 to 15 years, they always felt as though it would get replenished in a record amount of time because that was a fund that kept growing and growing. But guess what? That fund isn't growing anymore. So therefore, we can't take it because, as I said, cars are getting better gas mileage. When you have manufacturers that have met with us, from GM to Volvo to Tesla to Ford, and said that half of their fleet by 2022 will be all electric and hybrid, how do you think you're going to make up that money then?
Could you guarantee the people of Connecticut, if we were to get these tolls, that we would not have down the road a program to tax us by the miles we drive?
Well, Dan, listen, I don't like that one bit, and you know that. I've been on your show and I said that. That is not the way we should be going. Because if you're going to do that, then you better have an alternative for someone to use buses or trains or whatever it is if they don't want to use their vehicle. All right, I'm opposed to that. I've been strongly opposed to that. But if we're not doing anything, everything has to be on the table. Everything, Dan. If you don't want tolls, then tell me what you want. Do you want a carbon tax? Do you want an electric tax on vehicles? What is it? How do you want to make up this money?
The point now.
Let's be honest. How come why isn't my daughter in Boston? All right. And I get on, right before I get into the state of Connecticut, where Sturbridge is, and I look at, on a Sunday afternoon, traveling back home, and I turn to the vehicles on my left and my right, and almost 60 to 70% of those vehicles are out-of-staters. Why shouldn't we ask them to pay? How come I have to pay if I go on every roadway across the Northeast Corridor?
Well, this is a point and a good point. The point is now, though, what we've got now, and what I just hope to God there's a couple of Democrats that are tough enough to vote down this budget, because this is going to kill us.
Well, but if the budget is voted down, Tony, you're not going to get your commission in there or your authority in there to eventually begin the apparatus to institute tolls.
I know. This is a predicament that, you know, again, this is I've been there since 2000. I have never seen the way this legislative body has worked. And I'm not trying to say it's been bad or good, but what I'm saying is that when you talk about how every vote counts, I'm telling you guys that this is the quandary and the predicament that every leader is up against right now. If we do nothing, then the governor starts putting his executive orders in place and starts slashing. So what do we hear from our towns? All right? People call me every day by the dozens about getting their money cut by the ECF funding. You know, what about our town aid road? You can't allow the governor to do this. You talk about raising taxes, phones ring because you're raising taxes. If you talk about cutting services, the phone rings. Not my service. Well, what services do you want to cut? I don't know. This is the dilemma that we're in right now. We don't have the luxury of any more monies coming into the state, and we have to have a plan that basically everything changes. Even the municipalities, Dan and Brad, I got to be honest with you. Those days are done. You know what I mean? I do get a little bit upset because, you know, when you have towns that have superintendents and assistant superintendents and all this, I mean, really, do we need to have all this in place or can we start to share these resources?
Well,
now?
That's a terrific point. But I would also say, Tony, if the legislature is going to shortchange these towns on municipal aid, then they've got to release the mandates on these towns in order to lower the costs in that area.
You're right, Dan. We have said that. Believe me, we have stated that. And also what we have stated, too, is that, you know, a lot of these mandates, too, come from the federal down to the state. So that's the part. But in regards to the state mandate, yeah, we're going to have to really, you know, Dan, you bring up a great point. Let's talk about, like, these mandates, okay? We put into place buses, right?
Tony, I wish we had more time, but we're out of time. Hey, call us again. All right,
we'll talk again. We're
thanks, Tony.
Down to the wire here. But thanks for being with us.
Take care.
Thank you, gentlemen.